Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. Was Yeshua a sin sacrifice? Many people believe that he was. Many people insist that he was. Does it make a difference? We all believe that our Messiah gave himself for us, and we believe that his sacrifice covers us. But does it make a difference whether he was a sin sacrifice or whether he was a different type of sacrifice? What was the purpose of the sin sacrifice? The sin sacrifice was to make atonement for transgressing the commands of Yahweh. And when there is a breach and a breaking of his word, there has to be an accounting for it. And to atone means to make amends or reparations. So there has to be a bridging of that gap that has been created. By transgressing Yahweh's command, we create a wall between us and him. Sin separates us from our Abba, because he is a holy and righteous Elohim. And he tells us that we must live in that same state. We have to live in a state of being set apart or being holy. And he tells us we must exist in that same state as he is. And if we don't, if we fail, if we transgress his commands, then we are creating a barrier between ourselves and him. And he can't draw close to us because that transgression is standing in between us. So it's important that our transgressions are accounted for. And there always has to be an accounting. That's why people will stand and be judged at the end, because those transgressions have to be answered for. So let's take a look at what Yah's word tells us about the sin sacrifice. Let's turn over to Leviticus 4 and verse 1. Leviticus 4, and we'll start in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, when a being sins by mistake against any of the commands of Yahweh, which are not to be done, and shall do any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then he shall bring to Yahweh for his sin which he has sinned a young bull, a perfect one, as a sin offering. And he shall bring the bull to the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh, and shall lay his hand on the bull's head, and slaughter the bull before Yahweh. And the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before Yahweh in front of the veil of the set apart place. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before Yahweh, which is in the tent of meeting, and pour all the blood of the bull at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. Then he takes all the fat of the bull as the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat which is on the entrails, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the loins, and the appendage on the liver, which he removes with the kidneys, as it was taken from the bull of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. But the skin of the bull and all its flesh, with its heads and legs, its entrails and dung, all of the bull he shall bring outside the camp to a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it is burned. And if the entire congregation of Israel strays by mistake, and the matter has been hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done against any of the commands of Yahweh, which are not to be done, and shall be guilty, when the sin which they have sinned becomes known, then the assembly shall bring a young bull for the sin, and bring it before the tent of meeting. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before Yahweh, and the bull shall be slaughtered before Yahweh, and the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before Yahweh in front of the veil, and put some of the blood on the horns of the altar which is before Yahweh, which is in the tent of meeting, and pour all the blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering which is at the door of the tent of meeting. Then he takes all the fat from it and shall burn it on the altar. And he shall do with the bull as he did with the bull as a sin offering, so shall he do it. And the priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall bring the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering for the assembly. So the priest had to make atonement for himself first, and then for the people. Because he had to resolve his sin, his own sin. If there were anything between him and Yah, that had to be resolved first before he could then bring the offering for the congregation. So the offering, the sin offering for the priest and for the congregation was a bull. And then what was not offered as a sacrifice of the bull had to be taken outside the camp and burned. So what can we see here? Was Yeshua a bull? Was he in any way associated with a bull during his lifetime and his ministry? Was Yeshua taken outside the camp and burned, like the sin offering was burned? Well, the answer is no. He was not. What was the condition of Israel when they were in Egypt? What were they doing there? What were their what did their lives consist of? Well, they were slaves, and they were in bondage, and they were in bitter bondage. Pharaoh made their lives hard purposefully. He hated them, and he also feared them because he was afraid they were going to raise up and join with someone else and come against him. So they were enslaved in Egypt and subject to Pharaoh's rule. And what did Egypt picture? Egypt is a picture of this world. It's a picture of man in charge, man in control, and a life of sin, an existence apart from Yah. You know, Egypt had its own worship system set up. They even had to worship Pharaoh as if he were a god. So Israel was not free to do what they wanted. Their lives were controlled in every way. And that is also a picture of the system we are going to see at the end. You know, we're warned that system is going to control everything. And if you are not part of that system, you won't even be able to buy and sell. So that was essentially the same condition Israel was in when they were in Egypt. So Yah rescued Israel out of that place and out of that condition, didn't he? He looked down upon them and saw their misery and that they were enslaved and that everything they did was controlled and they were not able to worship him. So how did he go about freeing them? Yeah, he sent all these plagues on Egypt. And all of those plagues built upon one another. And, you know, systematically destroyed Egypt. Yeah, and we know when Yeshua returns in the future, he's going to destroy that system that man has set up. And this is definitely a picture of that. So these plagues led up to one final event. Okay, let's take a look at Exodus 12 and verse 3. Exodus 12 and verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of the beings. According to each man's need, you make your count for the lamb. Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year old male. Take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its inward parts. And do not leave of it until morning, and what remains of it until morning you are to burn with fire. And this is how you eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Passover of Yahweh. And I shall pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and shall smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the mighty ones of Egypt I shall execute judgment. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over you, and let the plague not come on you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Okay, so we see this final plague that Yah is bringing on Egypt to set Israel free. But we also see that Israel is going to be affected by this plague as well, unless they follow Yah's instructions. They have to set apart a lamb for themselves. And they have to prepare it in a specific way. And they have to mark their homes with the blood of that lamb. That this is a sin sacrifice. Now, does he make that distinction when he gives them the instructions for what they're to do on this night? And is there a bull involved? You know, did he tell them to get a bull and set it apart? No, he told them to get a lamb. And what does Yah call this event? It's the Passover. And what are they being passed over from? What is coming through the land that night? It's death. Judgment is coming through the land, and the penalty for transgression, from living apart from Yah, from not keeping his commands, it's the death penalty. And Pharaoh defied Yah. You know, and the land was already destroyed. And, you know, it's clear Yah was judging Pharaoh in Egypt. So, if the children of Israel were not in their homes with the blood of the lamb protecting them, they would die. But Yah warned them. He told them. So the blood of the lamb caused them to be passed over, and they were spared from death. And if you look at that, you look at that situation that happened there, what really happened? They were ransomed. They were paid for. And they were spared. Because judgment was on them just as well. And they had to do what Yahweh instructed them to do in order to be spared and to be passed over. And what was it that caused them to be passed over? It was the blood of the Lamb, right? They marked their homes. And all of the families were gathered in their respective homes. And they had them marked, showing each home. And everyone in the home was set apart to Yah. So, you know, there's a picture we're being shown here. And we know this event pointed to future events, right? And what we see here is not a picture of a sin sacrifice, is it? It is a picture of redemption. It is a picture of being passed over and spared from death. Because, again, if they were not inside their home under the protection of that blood, they would die. So the blood of the Lamb redeems them and buys them back from death. That's what we see happening here. Okay, let's take a look at Micah 6, verse 1. Micah 6, verse 1. Hear now what Yahweh is saying. Arise, strive with the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the controversy of Yahweh, and you everlasting foundations of the earth. For Yahweh has a controversy with his people, and he shall reprove Israel. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I ransomed you from the house of bondage. And I sent Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam before you. Well, Yah just makes it perfectly clear right there, doesn't he? He tells us exactly what he did. He says, I ransomed you. He paid the price. He paid the price to set them free. So, we're talking about redemption and restoration and a price being paid for a people to redeem them back to their Elohim. So, what did John the Immerser, what did he call Yeshua? Now, he was not confused about who Yeshua was. He knew. He knew Yeshua was coming. He knew the impact he was going to have. He knew what it meant for mankind because John was the rightful high priest. And he was down there at the river preparing the way for Yeshua. He was already immersing people. He was already making preparation for Yeshua to come. Okay, let's look at John 1, verse 29. John 1, verse 29. On the next day, Yochanan saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, see the Lamb of Elohim who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who has become before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he might be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came immersing in water. And Yochanan bore witness, saying, I have seen the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove and remain on him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit coming down and remaining on him, this is he who immerses in the set-apart Spirit. And I have seen and have witnessed that this is the Son of Elohim. Again the following day, Yochanan was standing with two of his taught ones, and looking at Yeshua walking, he said, see the Lamb of Elohim. Now John knew exactly who Yeshua was. And what did he call Yeshua? The Lamb of Elohim. That's an important distinction. He didn't say the bull of Elohim, did he? No, he said the lamb. John understood what Yeshua was going to do. And he understood the picture. Okay, Revelation gives us the same description of Yeshua. Let's look at Revelation 5, verse 5. Revelation 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Yehuda, the Root of David, overcame to open the scroll and to loosen its seven seals." And I looked and saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him sitting on the throne. This is a really interesting picture we see of Yeshua here, because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he appears as a lamb having been slain. Here we have this strong, courageous, brave lion, yet that lion gives himself meekly as a lamb to be slain. What a picture that is. And there's nothing connected with a bull there, is there? Okay, let's look at Revelation 7 now. Revelation 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. "After this I looked and saw a great crowd, which no one was able to count, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Deliverance belongs to our Elohim, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the messengers stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped Elohim, saying, 'Amen. The blessing and the esteem and the wisdom and the thanksgiving and the respect and the power and the might to our Elohim forever and ever. Amen.' And one of the elders responded, saying to me, 'Who are these dressed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Master, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are those coming out of the great distress, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because of this, they are before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his dwelling place. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tent over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike them, nor any heat. Because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and lead them to fountains of waters of life. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" Yeshua gave himself for us on Pesach. He died on the very day and at the very hour that the Pesach lambs were being slain in the temple. That first Passover in Egypt, all of those years prior, pointed to this time when Yeshua was going to become that lamb, when he was going to give himself. And the same picture that we see with the original Passover is also valid for Yeshua's sacrifice. Because what did his sacrifice do for us? He redeemed us. He ransomed us. He paid the price for each one of us. The price that each one of us earned by transgressing the Torah of Yahweh. And if we don't come under the the protection of that blood, if we don't become marked with that blood, and we're not behind that threshold of protection, then death can overtake us. But because we come under that protection, we are redeemed and we are ransomed and we are paid for. So there's an important distinction between what the lamb represents and the sacrifice of the lamb versus the bull. You know, they had to continually offer up sin offerings, didn't they? Every time there was transgression, they had to offer up this sin offering. But Yeshua offered himself once for all. It was just like that first Passover. They did not have to continue to follow that instruction, did they? It was a one-time event setting them free from Egypt. Yeshua is not continually offered over and over again. You know, he gave himself once to redeem us and pay for us. And he took our place. He stood in for us. He became our kinsman redeemer. He stepped up and said, I will redeem them. I will pay their price. And Yah accepted his sacrifice. He accepted Yeshua stepping in and taking our place. And it is done. You know, Yeshua was found acceptable. He was found worthy. He was the lamb without spot and without blemish. Something, you know, we can never do for ourselves because we do have spots and blemishes. So Yeshua does not have to continue to offer himself up. His sacrifice was sufficient, more than sufficient. And he's not a living sacrifice. He has already given himself. Now, he serves as the high priest now. He is our high priest. And we are the ones that are the living sacrifices, not him. We are the ones that have to continually throw ourselves on the altar and offer ourselves up. Let's look at Hebrews 7, verse 21. Hebrews 7, verse 21. For they indeed became priests without an oath, but he, speaking of Yeshua, became priest with an oath by him who said to him, Yahweh has sworn and shall not regret, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By as much as this Yeshua has become a guarantor of a better covenant. And indeed, those that became priests were many, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he remains forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who draw near to Elohim through him, ever living to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, kind, innocent, undefiled, having been separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need, as those high priests, to offer up a slaughter offering day by day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the Torah appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the Torah appoints the Son, having been perfected forever. You know, we know Yeshua was not taken outside the camp and burned, was he? We have all the accounts that tell us what they did with his body after he died. And we also have the witness that he rose and he was found acceptable by his Father, and that now he serves as our high priest. And it is fitting that he serves as our high priest, isn't it? Because he is the one who made it possible for us to be reconciled and be redeemed back to our Abba. So, you know, we see that it is an important difference, the way we look at his sacrifice. Whether he was just a sin sacrifice, or whether it was something much, much greater. And his sacrifice for us is a protective sacrifice. And what he did for us continues to cover us and protect us. You know, we don't need a continual offering now. We don't need a sin offering continually. We have our high priest who has redeemed us and brought us back near to Yahweh. And he still stands there doing that today. And then he will still continue his act of redemption when he returns in power and glory, when Abba tells him it's time. And he puts down that system of man, that is so similar and such a parallel to that system that existed in Egypt that had Israel enslaved. And Yeshua will come as the conquering king and the redeemer again, and he will set mankind free. And praise Abba for that. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope that you will be able to look at Yeshua's sacrifice in a different way and understand why it's important that we see his sacrifice in the right way and understand what it means for all of us. Amen. You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.